Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FNF podcast. I'm Alex. I'm supposedly the host today, although that won't really matter too much. Hopefully, there are some new listeners who might want to check out our last episode after you listen to this, obviously, where we made our team of the season so far. And today, we're going to be making a tier list of Premier League goalkeepers. So today, I'm joined by Mr. Null, also known as Gig. Gig, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm very well, thank you. Tonight I'm drinking Corona Extra. Wouldn't necessarily be my first choice, but their sales seem to have plummeted because of the virus and stupid, and they don't want to drink it. And as a result, they're going for very, very cheap at the minute, so I capitalised.
Always caring about small businesses, UA.
Exactly.
We don't have enough Corona at the moment.
I've got the money.
So I'm also joined by Mr. Big Rig. Mr. Rig, same question to you.
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Good day so far. And I'm actually supporting the local businesses, and I'm drinking a Merry Brummy from the Birmingham Brewing Company.
So nice. Yeah. How is it?
I'm a fan.
What's the percentage?
Very crafty.
4.7.
Okay, fairly standard then. And I'm on the Cronenbergs, 1664. That's fairly standard, 4.5%, I believe. No, 5.
Ooh. You are.
That is one old beverage, isn't it? 1664.
Been in the bridge, in the fridge a while, I should say, not bridge.
Lord.
Right. So, shall we get into it, boys?
Yeah, sure. So, who do we want to... Or first, maybe we should explain the tiers.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Ewan, do you want to go with that? Because I think you've done a very good job of making the actual tier list, and Gig, you've done a good job of naming them.
Okay, so at the bottom, we've got not good enough. So these are for the players, where we don't know if they're actually able to perform at this level, whether they're good enough for the Premier League or not. Then we've got average at best, pretty self-explanatory. Then pretty good, to be fair. So those players that are a little bit better than that, but not quite on the elite levels. Then, yeah, he's fully decent. You're looking at your better players in the Premier League. You're looking at almost the top keepers. And then bloody outrageous.
What's bloody outrageous?
Those, you are looking at the best of the best, the creme de la creme. Yeah.
Nice. So shall we get started with Arsenal? I feel like we should go in maybe some alphabetical order.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So that would be Bernd Leno.
Bernd Leno, where do you think Bernd Leno should go, Al?
Well, I mean, I think he's a decent keeper. I don't think he's anything special, but then I don't think Arsenal have had a great keeper for a while, probably since David Seaman. I would put Leno...
James Lakeman might have something to say about that, actually.
I wasn't massively convinced on him. I would say he's sort of in the between of, yeah, he's fully decent and pretty good, to be fair. I think he's fairly consistent most of the time. However, he has made a few mistakes. But I think I'd say he's a decent shot stopper. But I'm happy to hear what you guys think.
Well, in the Premier League last year, he was third for save percentage over keepers that played more than 5 matches. So that's 77.6%. That's pretty good for me. I'd say it's a bit unlucky to be playing in an era where Germany have two of the world's best goalkeepers, and he doesn't quite make it into that category, but I'd probably go that he's fully decent.
This one caused me a bit of trouble. I went for, yeah, he's fully decent to begin with, but then I changed to pretty good, to be fair. Mm-hmm. 17 clean sheets in 78 games. I would like to see him behind a decent back four.
One without David Luiz, you mean?
Yeah, because that Arsenal defence is problematic, but he doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence. And then the players I've got in, yeah, he's fully decent. I don't think he is as good as.
Okay, so that seems to be a pretty split decision of, yeah, he's fully decent and pretty good, to be fair.
Yes, I guess the fair way to do it is if we put him at pretty good and then we see who gets into, yeah, he's fully decent, and we can compare which one sort of suits more.
Yeah, I like that.
So, are we carrying on the...
I think alphabetical. I like alphabetical.
Yeah, nice. So, Emi Martinez. George, I'm sure you've got some pretty strong opinions.
Anyone who watched the last episode will know how I feel about this man. If you haven't, go check it out right now.
No, after this.
Either or. But yeah, I've gone with yeah, he's fully decent. Admittedly, he hasn't played a lot of Premier League games for a man of his age, but the Premier League games he has played, he's got 14 clean sheets in 29 games. He has yet to make an error leading to goal in any of his Premier League appearances, and he's kept 8 clean sheets, which is the most in the league this season, in a defence that did not keep a clean sheet away from home last year. So for me, he's fully decent. I think he's having a bloody outrageous...
What's bloody outrageous?
...season, but he hasn't been doing it for long enough to get in that category.
What do you think?
I think that he's a little bit harsh to be putting him ahead of Leno already. I do get the point. He has been bloody outrageous. However, I think sort of we're judging it as a whole, I think that him and Leno are still on a pretty even pedestal. They're both pretty similar. I don't think he's played enough to say, oh yeah, he's definitively a better keeper than Leno.
I see what you're saying. I think, I don't listen to too much of what Arsenal fans say. They were very disappointed about him leaving.
Unless they're Ty from Arsenal Fan TV. Can't get enough of that guy.
But I think a little bit is like the expectation of Leno, because they bought him for $22.5 million, whereas Martinez has been like with them for about a decade, I believe it was. So, on the logic you've put forward, I can't complain. I'm pretty good, to be fair. But I'd be interested to know the thoughts of Mr. Alex.
Well, I know what you two are saying when you're saying he's having a bloody outrageous season. And I actually think pretty good, to be fair, would be quite harsh, considering we agreed on him. Oh, I don't know if we should mention who our goalkeeper was. We agreed that he was a strong candidate for that role. So I think putting him in anything less than, yeah, he's fully decent, is harsh. But then I do see the point of him not having much Premier League experience. He did perform quite well for Arsenal in the FA Cup last year.
Yeah.
Which is obviously what got him his move to Villa. But then there must be a reason why Arsenal kept hold of Leno over Martinez. Maybe it's purely financial. So I think putting him 2 levels above Leno would be quite harsh. But then... I think
Arsenal, I sort of understood why they sold him, if you know what I mean, because he's approaching his prime, he's not first choice, and he's just come off the back of the 2 biggest games of his career. This is the most money they were going to get from him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
So that would be why I would think they would sell Martinez over Leno. But
Ewan, what were you saying?
I think for me, what I'd say is that definitely by the end of the season, I'm sure he'll keep it up, and I think he'll definitely be in the, yeah, he's fully decent. But when I think about the people that might also go in the, yeah, he's fully decent, I don't know, actually, maybe we shift Leno up to the same. I think they should probably be on the same tier.
I think my view is we put him in, yeah, he's fully decent, and Leno is a strong candidate for moving up, but we keep Leno there for now. Okay. And see what happens.
I like it.
Okay. So who's next up then, Ewan?
I think we've got Nick Pope.
I like Nick Pope a lot.
R comes before you in the alphabet.
I did. I was a bit confused when Matt Ryan wasn't mentioned, but we can do Nick Pope and then Matt Ryan. It's not that important.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. We'll go for Nick Pope first then. My bad.
Okay. George, your thoughts?
I've gone for... what did I go for? I went for... Yeah, he's fully decent. Just on reputation a little bit more. 100 goals conceded in 87 games, which for a team like Burnley, I think is pretty superb. 32 clean sheets. Second most clean sheets last year. Second only to Edison. I know Alisson missed quite a few games. I think he's probably England's best goalkeeper at the minute. And he's only going to get better. He's at that age where he's just sort of about to hit his prime as a goalkeeper. I think footwork in goalkeepers is a little bit over-talked about, but I think it is something he needs to work on. I think he gets away with it a bit at Burnley because they don't play out from the back, but if he wants to play for England, he's going to have to be a bit better with his feet. But yeah, for me, he's fully decent.
Well, I am bordering between, yeah, he's fully decent and bloody outrageous. Now, I get that I've been a bit indecisive so far on a single tier, but I think Nick Pope, I mean, you mentioned some good stats there, playing for Burnley and only conceded 100 goals in 3 seasons worth of games. I also agree that he's England's best keeper. I get why Pickford's in the team over him based on what he did in the World Cup. But for me, he would be my first choice England goalie. And I think the fact that he kept Tom Heaton out the side when Tom Heaton got injured and Burnley never looked back. And I know George would love us to talk about Tom Heaton because of that obvious Villa bias.
The best back of PKs in the league.
Well, if you're saying that Tom Heaton's one of the best GKs in the league, Nick Pope kept him outside. He never really got a sniff.
Best backup.
Okay. Well, I am going to put Nick Pope in bloody outrageous because I genuinely think he's one of the best shot stoppers in the league. And I don't think footwork matters that much. If he can kick the ball 50, 60 yards, that's all he needs to be able to do.
Okay, so what I'm going to say about that is that I agree with you. He's one of the best shot stoppers in the league, definitely. And over the past few seasons, he's done absolutely brilliantly. But into that top tier, I don't think that he quite makes it because I think you need everything for that. And I think it would be difficult for someone that's playing at Burnley to make it. I think you need to be performing at the highest level against the best teams. And I don't think that Nick Pope's quite in that because he's not a full package.
The one thing I would say as well, sorry, is that the people I've put in bloody outrageous, I would never start Pope over him in a million years.
No.
Okay, I think maybe if Pope carries on this form for a couple more years, and he could get a move to someone, I'm kind of surprised that Chelsea went in for Mendy when they could have gone for Nick Pope, unless he's recently signed a contract that I don't know about.
I think he's
good enough to perform at that level, and I think if he was at one of those sides, we would definitely think of him at that level, but because he's at Burnley, that almost negates people's opinion of him. But I won't cry about having him, and yeah, he's fully decent.
Okay, so should we go for Matt Ryan?
I'm happy to go up to Matt Ryan.
So, I think what I've got written down is Matt Ryan. He seemed to have a bit of a decline last season. I think he was 17th in terms of goalkeepers in the Premier League in save percentage. This season, I think, George, you said, has he been dropped 4 times already?
No, he's been dropped for the last 4 games. Sorry.
Dropped for the last 4 games.
He's not been injured. Yeah.
No. And I don't think Brighton played with a GK on the bench. But he's definitely not injured.
That's interesting.
So he hasn't been in the match day squad. But yeah. So I could be wrong there, admittedly. But he hasn't been in the match day squad for the last 4 games. And there's no news of him anyway being injured. The Sussex Live reported that he had been dropped, so that's good enough for me.
I think the decline is definitely there, but because he's been in and around for a good few seasons, I think it would be a bit harsh to go for not good enough, and I'd probably go average at best.
I think I'd agree with you. I live with a Brighton fan who will not be very happy about me us putting him there, but I think there's a lot. There's nothing wrong with him as a keeper. If West Brom were to sell Johnston and replace him, I wouldn't be fuming if Matt Ryan was the one to come in. But he's not a keeper that you'd be like, he's going to make our team better. I think average at best is completely fair.
I think last year I would probably have gone for pretty good, to be fair. He's a very tidy goalkeeper. I think Brighton sort of is his level. Only had two errors leading to goals in his 121 Premier League games.
That is a lot of Premier League matches.
Leno, that is pretty impressive. Had like seven in less games.
And I think that is tidy. But then he's been left out of the team for Robert Sanchez, who I don't know a whole lot about, apart from the fact he was... I had him on loan in my Rochdale career mode on Football Manager.
That should be all you need to know.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so average at best as well for me.
Okay, nice.
So,
who's up next then, Ewan? That would bring us to
Crystal Palace. Mendy. Oh, yeah. Getting the alphabet wrong, aren't I? So, who wants to start with Mendy?
I would like to start because I think Mendy started off quite well when he first joined. Chelsea fans were really happy with him. But I think that's partly because Kepa had been so shit. And actually, I saw a stat where Mendy has only kept one clean sheet in his last six games. And that was against West Ham, where he didn't face a shot. I might be wrong on that stat, but I'm pretty sure that is factually correct. So I think that shows that he's not really up to, definitely not up to what a Chelsea standard should be. I mean, he's got a pretty good defence in front of him generally. So I think the fact that he's not kept a clean sheet, and he has made a few little errors, like I think that goal that Saka scored, although I think it's a great goal, there's something wrong with your positioning there. Chelsea were just embarrassing that day anyway, but that didn't help. So I think the absolute highest I want to put in is pretty good, to be fair. But then, in a way, I kind of want to say not good enough, because if we're saying for a Chelsea level, he isn't good enough for a Chelsea level yet. But I know that we're talking generally in the whole Premier League standard, and he is good enough for a Premier League standard, but he's not good enough for a Chelsea standard, in my view. So I'm going to go for average at best.
Yeah, I think that last season he was the third best in terms of save percentage in Ligue 1.
I think Ren had the joint best defence for PSG. That's the one thing I will say.
And when he came in and I think it was five clean sheets in the first six matches, and Chelsea fans are saying, oh, he's come in and he's shored up the defence. I did buy into the hype, and I think that I would have gone for, yeah, he's fully decent. But I think realistically, when you actually look at it, he's not been in the Premier League for long enough. And I know Martinez, but that's been
he's
a bit of an exception. So I think for me, he's pretty good, to be fair. Again, at the end of the season, we might look back and say either, yeah, he's fully decent, or he might even be average at best.
He might improve, who knows?
Yeah, I went with he's pretty good, to be fair. I think to say, because they haven't kept a clean sheet in six, he's not Chelsea standard, is a bit harsh.
That's not the only reason I'm saying it. I generally haven't rated him as highly.
I just thought, like, I was surprised that Chelsea went for him. I hadn't heard too much about him. And I know they didn't want to spend massively because they overspent so much on Kepa, and they didn't want to go out and spend 50 million plus or 72 million. But I was a bit surprised when I heard Chelsea's number one was going to be a £22 million signing from Ren. But then they got Petr Cech as their technical director, and that boy knows a GK when he sees one.
I did suggest naming the bloody outrageous category the Petr Cech category, so he must know something about goalkeeping.
But yeah, the last five or six games, the Villa goal yesterday, El Ghazi put it through his legs. It wasn't an easy one, but it wasn't great goalkeeping. And I just don't think he has that sort of presence, if you know what I mean. I saw a tweet that said he was the Timu Pukki of the 2021 season, which I thought was quite funny.
I think pretty good.
That is quite amusing.
Pretty good, to be fair, for me.
Okay. All right, so Crystal Palace, we've got Gaiter up.
He's all right.
I went for average at best. 18 clean sheets in 71 games. I don't think he's anything special. I think he had a very good game against Tottenham recently, but then even then he let in one from 30 yards through his legs from Harry Kane. So yeah, pretty average for me.
I'd agree with average at best. I think there's nothing to shout at me saying he's any better than I've not watched him play terribly. I think he's fine. But I think Palace have had better keepers.
I think he's normally pretty solid, and I think he comes with pretty decent pedigree. But I'd probably go pretty good. But if you guys want to go average, I'm happy with that.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think he's any better than Jack Butland.
Well, he's keeping him out the side though. Then Jack Butland has been appalling the last couple of years.
Yeah, I swear.
So who next? Is it Pickford now?
It would be Pickford next, yeah.
So, what are you thinking about Pickford?
I'm going to say pretty good, to be fair. I think he is not as good as Nick Pope, and I think he is easily as good as Mendy and Leno. I think he is prone to making mistakes, though, and he's proven that so many times, not just this season. I mean, even when he started at Sunderland, he made mistakes. And, I mean, was it the goal against Leeds or something the other day? Where he was standing behind his line and the ball went in, but he saved it, but it was over the line. Like, I feel like that's poor. And you've got to know better. But then he also does pull out some class saves as well. I think the lack of consistency is what makes me want to go only pretty good, to be fair, and not any higher than that.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't have him any higher. I think it seems like a concentration thing with him. Like, he can't... Like, the best goalies... They can have nothing to do for 89 minutes and then they'll pull off a great save and that'll end up being the difference between a win and a draw. And I just, like, he's always looking for something to do. Like the Van Dijk injury, he doesn't need to come out there and he just comes out and clatters into him and he somehow doesn't get sent off for it. I think he's
he should be sent to prison for it.
I think he's had 14 errors leading to goal in 158 Premier League games. I think he's getting to that age where he will grow up a bit. I think he's been a regular for Everton now for a few seasons, as well as an England regular. And he will, I do think he will grow out of it. But his errors just seem to keep going on. I think Ancelotti will get the best out of him.
I think that's definitely true. I think for me, because he has got so many errors in him, and it just sort of doesn't give you confidence. Like, that back four won't have confidence knowing they've got Pickford behind them. And with consistency being such a massive thing for goalies, I think that I'd go average at best, although he's definitely got potential to be in the higher tiers.
I think average at best is quite harsh. But I'm going to go for pretty good, to be fair. So, Keegan, it looks like you've got a deciding vote.
Yeah, I think pretty good, to be fair. I think he's just done a bit more in the game than Gaeta and Matt Ryan, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think like he was superb at the 2018 World Cup. I know you can't give up one tournament, but
he was there. He was great.
And he wants the rave on as well, so you know, can't argue that.
Right, so Alphonse Areola, World Cup winner.
He is a World Cup winner.
Played for PSG and Real Madrid.
I'd quite like to shoot first on this one, if that's cool.
Go
for it.
Because I did some digging, and I think everyone thought, like, how have they got Areola? He's played for PSG and Real Madrid, and obviously he's like people think he's good because of that. But if you actually look at like where he's been on loan, so when he was at Villarreal, they finished fourth, and they had the third best defense in the league behind. Atletico Madrid, who always have the best defence in the league, and Real Madrid. And he was their first choice. He came second with Lens in Liga 2 when he was their first choice keeper. And then when he was at Bastia, they came 12th in Ligue 1 with him as their number one. And they finished bottom 2 years later. And they now find themselves in the third tier due to financial complications. So
clearly poor goalkeepers.
Yeah, so I think wherever he's gone, like, everyone looks at the PSG and Real Madrid, but when he's been out on loan, he always seems to have done well. And I think it's a very good bit of business for Fulham, even if it is only on loan.
I actually think Fulham are a bit of an underrated side. I don't think they're all that, but I don't think Fulham will go down. I think part of the reason is I think that defence is fairly confident under him. I might be wrong, but I can't remember any glaring mistakes from him. I think the experience of being around those clubs like PSG and Real Madrid has given him a level of confidence that you wouldn't find in goalkeepers who are playing in their first season in the Premier League, especially for a club like Fulham who are in the relegation battle. And it's not like he's got a really experienced defence in front of him, and I still think he's doing a decent enough job for a club like that. So I would say pretty good, to be fair. Ewan?
Yeah, I think his lack of actual game time is what's stopping him from getting any higher. But he has got the pedigree of being at some of the world's biggest clubs, and he's obviously won the World Cup. So I think pretty good, to be fair, is a pretty good place for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Who's next then?
It would be Meslier.
Okay, Meslier. I don't think he's got enough experience. I think he's obviously 20. He's been doing well this season. I think he looks like he will be a very good keeper. But I think it would be hard to put him any higher than average at best.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you. I think that he had an absolute nightmare against Burnley with him potentially what should have been giving away a penalty and also coming out to a ball that he should never be coming out to. I think that shows a lack of experience. I mean, obviously, that doesn't mean that he's a bad goalkeeper, but it means that he is not... I don't think he's really like anywhere near his potential. I think there are times when I look at him and he looks pretty good. Then today, I don't know, Leeds did beat us 5-0 and I'm really clutching at straws here, but he did struggle with a few of the corners put in. And actually, I think if it wasn't for an arm round Callum Robinson's neck, he would have been there to tap in a very poor attempt at clearing the ball with a punch when he really should have caught it. I think he's also got... I know Leeds aren't the best defensive side at all. But I think he's got some all right players in front of him. I think Luke Ayling commands that defence pretty well over him. I don't think he has that much effect on the Leeds defence. And I would actually put in a shout for not good enough.
What do you think, Gig?
Yeah, I went for not good enough myself. Okay. The only thing that slightly put me off was the fact that he was 20 and he will get better. But it's just like, for me, I just like... A big figure in goal, and I look at him. It's the same with Mendy. They just don't fill a goal. They don't look
composed.
If you know what I mean. And he only started 10 games last year when they finished top. Kiko Casilla was first choice. I think he's fallen out of favour a bit since that sort of racial incident. Which
as he should.
Yeah, you can understand. But if he was the GK that had got Leeds into the Premier League, I'd probably put him more average. But I don't think he is good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd agree. We don't know whether he is good enough yet. He's not played in the Premier League enough. Who's up next?
Leicester.
Okay, I think for me, Leicester's quite an easy one. Kasper Schmeichel, I think I'd whack him straight in, fully decent.
I think I can agree with you. He is a very good keeper, obviously helped lead Leicester to win the league. He is also a pretty good keeper for Denmark. And I just think he's good. I like him as a bloke as well. I think he's quite a nice guy. I mean, I know it doesn't really affect his goalkeeping ability, but I think Leicester have never had an issue with Kasper Schmeichel, hence why he's been there for, I think this will be at least his ninth season at the club. He was there on FIFA 12. I know that. So I think, yeah, he's fully decent is definitely fair.
What were you surprised with their gig?
I thought pretty good, to be fair. He never amazes me. In a sense, you don't want to notice your goalkeeper. And I think he's very tidy, but he doesn't amaze me. Like, I don't think Leicester gained so many more points for having him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I see.
And I think he's at an age now. I think he's 34. I think they will be looking at a new number one for next season, I would think. I know he's captain, and he's a very tidy keeper, but I wouldn't put him as high as that myself.
He has won the league, though. Yeah. How many keepers in here that can we say that about?
So is Webb too. Webb Morgan. So. But yeah,
I think there's only one of the keepers in here that's won the league, though.
He is more solid than Leno and Pickford. So yeah, go for it.
And then is it Liverpool?
Yes, it is, Alisson.
I feel like this is the easiest one of the list.
Bloody outrageous.
What's bloody outrageous?
Straight into bloody outrageous.
He's just so quick.
He is the best in the league, isn't he?
Just fills you with confidence.
I think I didn't really appreciate him. I knew he was good last season, but like since Van Dijk's been missing, I just see him in a different light, if you know what I mean, because he has to cover a lot more, whereas Van Dijk can normally be clearing that stuff up. So he's so quick off his line, and whenever anyone's one-on-one with him, he's just such a big presence. You don't actually think they're going to score.
No, I was literally about to say that. When Grant was through on goal against Liverpool, I had no faith in him beating Alisson. Maybe that's also because he's a championship striker.
Yeah.
But I also just thought, there's no way he's going to beat him.
And he hasn't lost at Anfield in 2.5 seasons, which tells you something.
Yeah.
So where do you stand on Carl Darlow gig?
You got the Darlow over the Dubravka?
Yeah, I thought as he's been the number one this season, we'll go for Darlow.
Okay. Are we doing them before United and City?
Oh, sorry. The alphabet is...
The alphabet really doesn't do you very well, does it, Ewan?
We can edit that bit out, though, to be fair.
So, Edison.
Bloody outrageous.
For you.
What's bloody outrageous?
Bloody outrageous.
Yeah, he's fully decent.
I think I'm torn between his fully decent and bloody outrageous. I see he has been very, very good. But then, I don't know, has he been quite up to the standard as some of the others in bloody outrageous? But
I think give him 2 years and he will be. But I don't think... Because for me, the only people in bloody outrageous is either going to be Alisson or like the other couple who I'm going to mention obviously later who have been doing it for so long and just at the top level. I don't think he is at the top level just yet. I don't think you can say he is absolutely world-class. I don't think he's topped Joe Hart when he was at City. And when he does that, I think I'll put him in bloody outrageous. But for me, just about goes into yeah, he's pretty decent.
I think his first couple of seasons were better than last season at City. I think he was the best GK in the league when he first came. I think Alisson's overtaken him now. But he still won the Golden Glove last year. He's kept 59 clean sheets in 123 games.
Look who he plays for with that. Like,
yeah, I think he's bloody outrageous. He is one of the best goalkeepers in the world for me, quite easily. But
I'll let you have the deciding vote. I won't be annoyed if he's in bloody outrageous.
I think that I'm going to put him in fully decent for me.
Okay. I think I can see a bit of a wry smile coming upon Gig's face.
It might be one to change. Then onto De Gea. Obviously, he's been playing very well for a number of seasons, but sort of more recently, in the past couple of seasons, he's had a bit of a dip in form. Had a few shockers for club and country. I think a few 4 years ago, he was definitely in the top tier, but now I'd put him at fully decent.
I'm going to have to disagree with you and put him in bloody outrageous. I still think he's absolutely class. I mean, today against Wolves, I don't know if you watched the game, but I thought he was brilliant. But he did everything he needed to do. And I never thought Wolves were going to score. And I think that's because...
Wolves never score.
Well, there is that. but I also think, like, he has been class. Like, he's the reason why United were still sort of in the mixer for such a long time. Like, because teams couldn't really get past him unless they could pass it through the defence and, like, sweat it, for want of a better word. But I think he is a very, very tidy goalie. And he's had a bit of a dip in form, but then all the world-class keepers have, like, when Schmeichel was in, like, prime of his Man United career, he got chipped like four times from outside the box in three games. Like,
I think for me, if you were to say tomorrow, who would I prefer in the sticks out of him and Edison, I'd go Edison.
Yeah, absolutely. He's fully decent for De Gea. He got in the PFA Team of the Year five times in 6 years, and he won the Matt Busby Award, which I'm pretty sure is Man U Supporters Player of the Year Award for 4 years running. And he does average less everything to goal than per game than like Alisson and Edison, but I think that's because he's not quite as risky with his feet as them. But for me, he's gone from being like the core of the Man United team, like carrying them. I think he's now not a burden, but he costs them points now. I think like with the back four they've got, it's fairly inexperienced and they need him at his best to sort of, they need that assurance and they don't have that with him. I also think, I know Roy Keane's a big fan of this podcast, and if we were to put him in Bloody Outrageous, he would be round our houses. So I would go for, yeah, he's fully decent.
I think he definitely obviously was Bloody Outrageous, but I think that fully decent, I'm sort of happy putting him there for now.
I mean, yeah. I am a bit scared of Roy Keane, so I wouldn't be afraid to to be fair. Yeah. I want him throwing any punches.
He's not as he thinks, though, is he? Bless him.
He's not. Right, shall we move on to Carl Darlow?
Yeah,
I've gone for average at best. He's just okay, isn't he? I think.
Yeah, there's no other way of summing him up.
I think they're just waiting for Dubravka to be back. Like, he's kept two clean sheets in 14 games this season.
I mean, probably, last time he was starting, they got relegated.
Yeah. So, if anything, there's an argument that he's not good enough, but probably average at best.
I think with the people that are on average at best, they're at least like somewhat proven to be at that quality. Whereas Darlow, I know he's been doing really well this season. I think he's like second or third most saves, and he is performing well. It's just like he's not been at this level, or like performed at this level enough.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to put him in not good enough. I don't think Newcastle fans will be particularly pissed off with it. I don't think he's a massive fan favourite. I think he's, he would be average at best. But
he's also one of the only number twos on this list as well, in fairness.
That is also true.
So, but,
he's still quite young, though, for a keeper. Yeah, we'll go for not good enough.
And it is not good enough, question mark. Just to
next question. Yeah, that is true. So we're not saying that he's shit. We're just not sure.
Not good enough.
Next one. Next one will be another not good enough in Aaron Ramsdale, I think.
I would agree. He's been relegated already twice in his career and he's going to get relegated a third time. He got relegated with Chesterfield.
Okay, yeah. Good bit of knowledge there, mate. He has got a redeeming factor in that he's a baggy, but that may have been why he didn't save basically the only... whack him straight in Bloody Outrageous. That might have been why he didn't save probably the only shot on target when we beat Sheffield United 1-0. I really think he's not great. He is still quite young, but...
That's my only argument, is that he's 22, and when we come to some other people on this list who are 5 years older, he's played a hell of a lot more games than them. But ultimately, he has he's conceded 89 goals in his 53 Premier League games and only kept 5 clean sheets. So yeah, for me, not good enough yet, I would say.
Okay, I would agree with you. Which would bring us next up to Alex McCarthy.
Alex McCarthy.
Of Southampton. He's got a lot of Premier League experience, this man. He's played for a few clubs, hasn't he? He's played for QPR.
He has played in the top six tiers of English football.
Fair play to him.
That is good trivia.
That is some good trivia.
That is a bit unprimed today.
I will happily go for either pretty good, to be fair, or average at best. I think... he's keeping Fraser Forster out the side, who I think is such an overrated keeper and has been his whole career.
But he's tall.
Yeah, he is really tall, and he sounds a bit like Foster, which I think is why people thought he was good. But I think he's either pretty good, to be fair, or average at best. I'm sure you guys are going to throw some stats at me that might confirm.
Definitely go for pretty good, to be fair, based on the season he's having. So they've had 7 clean sheets in 16 games, which is already as many as they had in last season. And he's 31, so he's definitely got 2 or 3 years in him. I think if you were to look at clean sheets in 2020, since I know every time you hear about Southampton, you hear about the 9-0. They've been so solid defensively since then.
Hopefully Fraser Forster was in goal for that.
Yeah, I think that I would go for pretty good, to be fair, as well.
I'm happy with that. I'm not going to complain. Which brings us to Hugo Lloris, which I think has to be bloody outrageous. Ewan?
What's bloody outrageous?
For me, yeah. World Cup winning captain. He's been doing
Premier League winning captain.
Yeah, he's been doing it in the Premier League for a lot of years. He's a brilliant shot stopper. I think he's one of the Premier League's best ever keepers. I think he has been good for a long time.
Tried to batter Son as well, which is always good because he gets too much love.
What are your thoughts, Gig?
For me, he's been good for a long time, but that isn't the qualification for a bloody outrageous goalkeeper. I think he's a superb shot stopper, but he's got no real presence in terms of coming off his line. I don't think he feels a back four with confidence like a world-class GK does. I think World Cup winning captain is a bit of right place, right time. It's a difficult one. Like, it sounds incredible, but is it as good as
Put some respect on the name, Gig. Put some respect on the name.
I just think, like,
I'm not happy with this.
You look at the individuals in that team, and he's not the, like, when you talk about that France team, people will not be talking about Hugo Lloris in 10 years' time.
I know he's a leader of men.
I mean, you saw his team talks in the Amazon Prime documentary. Like, is he a leader of men? I just think he's just never amazed me. And I think, like Spurs aren't going to win the league this year, and he's 34 now. And I think in the summer, Mourinho will be looking for a world-class goalkeeper. If he's,
but he's already got one, so I don't think he'll need to.
I think what we do...
Yeah.
Is we'll put him in the second tier, but then we'll need to decide at the end, out of Edison, Lloris and De Gea, who joins Alisson at that top tier.
I'm not happy with this, because I know that I'm going to lose the vote and it's going to be Edison who goes up there. Well, I think that's very unfair on Lloris and De Gea.
I think we all have to agree on a keeper to go into the top tier. I think we've all got to say, yeah, let's go for him.
We'll do that now or at the end?
I reckon do that at the end.
Well, it's not like Johnson, Fabianski or Rui Patricio are going to get into bloody outrageous, is it?
Whoa. There's no need for that.
So, right. Who's next?
We'll go to Sam Johnston next anyway.
I am going to say Sam Johnston is not good enough, ?
Are you fucking joking?
I think he's done very, very well, but...
Are you actually... No. I'm not having that at all from a fellow baggy.
Well, but then I think Melier or Darlow have a shout to be average at best if Sam Johnston is.
No, that's shocking. Right, I'll tell you why Sam Johnston is. I would put him in pretty good, to be fair. I would say West Brom have 4 Premier League players, and 4 is maybe pushing it. Because you've got him, Kieran Gibbs, Pereira, and... No, Conor Gallagher. And to be honest, I think I'm pushing it with Pereira. I don't think he's been good at all. I think Johnston is genuinely... I mean, damage limitation, as what was mentioned in the last podcast, is what has been said, but that is the best he can do. He has not made an error. Maybe you could blame him today for the shocking own goal that Sawyer scored. But he genuinely has made some saves that I've just been amazed at. Every goal he's conceded, I've thought... There's nothing he could do wrong. And like we pointed out in the last podcast, his expected goals, like conceded, is like +4, which means he should have conceded 4 more goals, which is like what, second in the Premier League. I think putting him in not good enough is massive slander on his name. And I think if West Brom get relegated, he would be unlucky to not move to another Premier League club. I think not good enough is so unfair.
I don't know.
I'd put him at least in. Well, I would say pretty good, to be fair, is completely bang on for him.
Well, I went for average at best, and I thought I was going to get battered for it, to be fair. But
I'm shocked.
He's 27 and he's played 16 Premier League games. And I know the defence in front of him is poor, but it's a defence that's conceded 35 goals and they concede a goal every 42 minutes. And
it's never down to him, ever.
Ever.
Look at if you were to watch every goal West Brom conceded this season, it's always because we've got a shit midfield and defence in front of him. He is, as a shot stopper, he is easily one of the best that West Brom have probably had in the last 20 years. And I mean, we did have Ben Foster for about 6 of them, and he was class, but I wouldn't say Johnston is far
it's
off.
Just like, as well, when I watched him against Man City, they said it was a goalkeeper masterclass, and every save I saw him make was one that he should save, if you know.
No, I will agree with you there. His performance was overrated. But like, you look at that save against Firmino the other day, that's a header from about 3 yards away, and it's down by his, like, about a yard over from his left hand already, and he's gone and dived in, and it's just point. It's that saved us a point. Like,
I think he's been around.
And against Sheffield United, he made 3 really good saves. Like, Sheffield United deserved a draw out of that game, he's got us our only win. I think to put him in not good enough is fuming. I think maybe
we can push him up to average at best, but that's as far as he can go.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'm surprised you said that though, even. I must say.
Well, I think if we're going by the rules, but then actually, I'll go back on Emi Martinez and say that he should at most be pretty good. To be fair,
never.
Well, I think just the lack of games is played. It's like. Exactly. Is he quite at that level of the others?
He's only played 16 games. And, well, how many has Emi Martinez played? Probably 20.
Yeah, but he's kept 8 clean sheets.
I think, and if Alex agrees with me, we'll knock Emi Martinez
down. It just seems a bit coincidental that you're doing this after the West Brom player, if you know what I mean.
I think I'll keep Johnston in average at best if you bump either Lloris or De Gea into bloody outrageous.
Because they're not.
I know it's not how it works.
Okay, should we go on to Fabianski?
I've gone
for pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah.
Only 4 errors leading to goals since the start of the 2017-18 season. I'm not sure quite where that ranks with other Premier League GKs, but I can't see it.
I think it's pretty, pretty high. More than,
yeah. I think he had a bit of a reputation when he came to Arsenal. It was a Lucas Flappy Hansky. But for 5 or 6 years now, he's been a Premier League number one at Swansea. He kept them in the league longer than maybe they should have been. And he's been...
Yeah.
Every time I watch him, he seems to pull off a really top-draw save and very few mistakes, as I said. Like, he's definitely pretty good for me, but not enough to be fully decent.
Yeah, I think that's... He's been doing quite a good job for... quite a few years now. I think it would be harsh to put him any lower. I think that's pretty right for Fabianski.
I would agree. But I've got to go back to this Johnston thing. I'm sorry, you. What makes you think that he's not good enough for the Premier League? Like, as a goalkeeper, like, just him. Ignore his defence in front of him. Him as a goalkeeper, why is he not good enough for the Premier League?
I think he's not good enough, question mark. We've not seen enough of him to necessarily know whether... he's good enough to be a Premier League number one for the next 6 years.
He's also been rejected a lot. Like, Man U, like, didn't really ever
and they
believe
had
in
Henderson
him.
And De Gea and Romero. Yeah, but they're 3 other keepers who are all class.
Yeah, they didn't sell him to a mid-table Premier League club, did they? They loaned him out to Villa, and I would have liked to have kept him.
You will say that Johnston was class for you, though.
He was good. I wouldn't say it was class, but I would like to have kept him. Yeah,
he was a class championship keeper, and he came to us last year. I thought he was decent.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a class championship keeper. He's proven that, but he's not proven to be a good Premier League keeper yet. Like, he's not proven to
He's not proven to be good, but I think to say he's not good enough is unfair on him.
That's why he's in average, though, isn't he? Because he's not as good as Leno or Pickford.
Well, there we go. It's over with the Sam Johnstone debate, and he is in average at best. That is settled. So what do we think about Rui Patricio?
Yeah, for me, he has to be fully decent. This was a very easy one.
Yeah.
He was one of them players when Wolves got him. I was like, oh, shit, they're going up a level here. He is top. And he's just, although he came in like already very experienced, he just looks so comfortable in the Premier League. He's conceded 107 goals in 91 games. Only three errors leading to goals in that time. 92 caps for Portugal, which is a record, and all for €18 million.
There's not much to disagree about there. He is he's a pretty elite keeper. Yeah, I think I'm going for fully decent too.
300 appearances for 327 appearances for Sporting.
Yeah.
Mental. That's
he's a big part of that Wolves defense.
Arguably the best team in Portugal.
So there's our list now. Are there any changes we want to make to that?
There are a couple, I believe.
Okay, so Alex, what change would you like to make?
I would like to bump De Gea up into bloody outrageous, because he has been one of, if not the best goalkeeper for like 5+ years. Well, probably, yeah, the decade. Because, I mean, apart from his first year in 2012, when he joined, where he was a bit shaky, he's been so good for United and a very, very adequate replacement. Well, I would say an improvement on Van der Sar. Probably the best keeper United have had for years, when you think about it. Probably the best since Schmeichel. Better than Barthez and better than Van der Sar. So,
yeah. I think if we're doing it on, like, in terms of the years they've done it for as well, like, De Gea is absolutely leading that. But I would have to put Edison in that bracket as well, not in terms of longevity, but I think him and Alisson have just sort of changed, completely, like, revolutionised the position. Like any goalkeeper now who can't play with their feet is not looked at by a top club, if you know what I mean? And they make good shot stoppers look like average goalkeepers because they're not as good with their feet.
That is a very valid point.
Yeah, I think I'm with you both, and we'll bump both of them up into bloody outrageous.
What's bloody outrageous?
Okay. I think Lloris is probably the best in the he's fully decent.
Yeah.
I think Lloris's CV is definitely up there with most of the best.
I think we need to discuss Areola. Maybe McCarthy as well, thinking about it. Because there's a... I'm happy to keep McCarthy where he is, but if anyone's got a strong opinion...
If we'd have done this at the end of last season, I'd agree with McCarthy, but this season I think he's been superb.
Yeah, and Southampton have been much better than...
But yeah, McCarthy. I think if... Are we really saying that Areola's as good as Leno, Mendy and Pickford and Fabianski?
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all. He's not in the same company. But I would put him in the same company as Matt Ryan, Greater and Johnston.
Yeah, I think he has had a serious lack of game time. And so for that, Areola goes to average at best.
But in a couple of years, he could definitely maybe even bump up to the he's fully decent. He's just not.
Yeah, definitely. He's got the pedigree to turn into that sort of keeper. And
if we're talking about being surrounded by the players in the same tier, Martinez is not on the same level as these other four lads.
Yeah, I think I'd tend to agree. that Martinez should be bumped down to pretty good. I think it's probably fair for him to be on that same level. He has obviously done very, very well this season. But when you look at the company that he's holding, they've done well for a number of years.
Yeah, I do agree. Like Martinez has just been like one of the best GKs in the league this year. But I think like at the end of the season, fully decent, yeah.
Yeah, I think if he keeps it up for the end of the season, then I think he's well within his rights to be in that fully decent category.
I think one thing I also want to say about maybe if we have anyone listening who isn't our dads and supports maybe Sheffield United or Brighton or Leeds, it's not like we're saying like those three keepers are shit keepers at all, because the Premier League's always had good goalies. I just think that those three haven't proven that they're necessarily good enough in the fairly limited amount of... Oh, it's not Brighton, is it? It's
Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Yeah, Newcastle. Yeah. Sorry.
But he's also number two, which is worth pointing out. But yeah,
that is worth pointing out. And I think the Bradford would maybe be average. In that. Yeah, maybe on a good day on the pretty good, to be fair.
I think Dubravka was probably one of the best keepers last season.
That is true. But then he's only done it for 1 year. Irrelevant anyway, because he's not in the tier list. But I think all of these keepers, like every keeper in this tier list is good. It's just about trying to advertise them in the same level. And I think we've got that pretty spot on.
Yeah, I think everyone will see it different, but I'm pretty happy with that. If we look at it as in terms of the period they've done it over rather than performances this season, if you know what I mean.
So to end it off, should we just double confirm for the audio viewers who we've got in each tier?
Yeah, go for it.
So in not good enough, ? We've got Melier, Darlow and Ramsdale. In average at best, we've got Matt Ryan, Guaita, Sam Johnston, and Alphonse Areola.
Johnston's been hard done by the
Areola.
Lol.
Get that one in, gig.
Do you reckon they knew what they were doing when they were naming?
Making a baby.
In pretty good, to be fair, we've got Leno, Mendy, Pickford, Fabianski, McCarthy and Emi Martinez. In yeah, he's fully decent, we've got Nick Pope, Kasper Schmeichel, Hugo Lloris, Rui Patricio, and then in bloody outrageous.
What's bloody outrageous?
We've got Alisson, Edison and De Gea. And yeah, I think I'm pretty happy with our order.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty happy with that, boys. Shall we leave it there?
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Yes, yeah. Thanks everyone for listening.
Get out the socials as well.
So the Twitter tag is at FNFTTP.
We could put it there.
Yeah, we'll put it in somewhere as well for anyone watching. And we've also got the Instagram, which is FNF. 3 points. The 3 points with the three.
No, it's just FNF 3 points.
Oh, is it? Yeah, we changed it. It's FNF 3 points with the letter, with the number three. And we also have a TikTok, don't we, Ewan? If you want to talk about the TikTok for a minute, because I don't think we plugged the TikTok much last episode.
It's FNF _3_points.
It is. That is what it is, yeah.
Yeah. And this list will be going on the TikTok as well.
It will be going on the TikTok. There's some good content on the TikTok, actually. And it's going
pretty
well.
If you want to watch Shrink for 30 seconds rather than an hour.
Yeah. That's the difference between me and you and having sex.
Ooh. You can decide which one's which.
No, I might get edited out. Doubt it. Thanks for listening, everyone. And hopefully we'll see you for you'll hear us for our next episode.